The government shutdown over the border wall has now set a record. Democrats are coming out of the woodwork to run for president, and we'll take a look at the Supreme Court and the movie Vice. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, we'll start with kind of an update on the government shutdown. It continues to go, and the whole reason is the border wall. The Democrats say they want security, but we know they don't, and they will not budge on the border wall. Here's what Trump recently tweeted. He said, "We have a massive humanitarian crisis at our southern border. We will be out for a long time unless the Democrats come back from their vacations and get back to work. I'm at the White House ready to sign." Here's a clip from his recent trip to McAllen where he held a border security, border wall roundtable.
"We have the absolute right to declare a national emergency, and this is security stuff. This is a national emergency. If you don't have a barrier, whether it's a steel barrier or a concrete wall, substantial and strong, you're never going to solve this problem."
All right, during that meeting, during that get-together with elected officials and border security personnel, one of the agents actually spoke, and here's what he had to say.
So far, this sector has apprehended folks from 41 different countries. Just yesterday, we apprehended 133 people from countries other than Central America and Mexico. That includes individuals from India, Pakistan, China, Romania, Ecuador, Nicaragua, on and on and on."
So let's just go over that for a second. He said 41 countries. He said in the last day, 133 people were apprehended from places like India, Pakistan, China, Romania. This shows that it is a crisis, that it's widespread, and that is not targeting. We're not targeting Mexico or one specific country. We're targeting a porous border that allows people from any country to come in, people that could do us harm, people that could bring diseases, and people who have come in and commit crimes. This is not the way we need to do it. We need to have border security, but the Democrats keep fighting and fighting at every turn. Here's what they're saying. Here's a report from CNS News, and they talked to Senator Mazie Hirono, and here's what she had to say. "He is an amoral hostage taker. Amoral because he makes no difference between right and wrong, nor does he give a rat. And he's a hostage taker because he has taken 800,000 federal employees and thousands of contractors hostage, and we won't negotiate with amoral hostage takers. That doesn't get us anywhere." So they won't negotiate with amoral hostage takers. That sounds, of course, it's an obvious play on "we won't negotiate with terrorists." So because Donald Trump actually wants to keep the country safe by building a border wall along with other security measures, he's actually the terrorist. That's the Democrats' way of thinking for you. And here's what Nancy Pelosi added. She said, "It's again a temper tantrum by the president. I'm a mother of five, grandmother of nine. I know a temper tantrum when I see one. It's most unfortunate. Because people's services are being withheld, and that's not right for the American people, we have a better idea how to secure the border, to do so with technology and infrastructure that is smart and that does the job." It's funny she mentions that, because in the Obama administration, and even during the time of President George W. Bush, they pushed for more technology, a virtual fence, and that program was shut down during the Obama administration, led by Democrats. Now, all of a sudden, because Trump wants a border wall, which Border Patrol agents want as well, they're against that, and they want more technology and a virtual fence. It just shows how insane the Democrats are with their policies and their hatred for Trump, that all they have to do is come to the table. Trump is willing to look at DACA. He is willing to add virtual security measures, technology upgrades, improvements to ports of entry. He's willing to do all of those things. We just need a wall. The Border Patrol agents want it, and the Democrats won't give in. As soon as they just put that on the table, the government will reopen, and it's the Democrats who are holding all these workers hostage. And speaking of the Democrats, it's the beginning of 2019, and yet they are coming out of the woodwork to run for president. We've had announcements in just the last few days. First of all, of course, you know that Elizabeth Warren, I'm an Indian Elizabeth Warren, said took to Instagram because now you can't just announce for being president. You have to be cool about it. So she went on live Instagram and showed a shot of her, you know, popping a beer and saying that she's running for president. And all I could think about was Asif Manvi from The Internship when he's talking to Vince Vaughn saying this.
I will not be grabbing a cold one with you.
And that's me. I'm not going to be having a cold one with her. She is not going anywhere in this campaign. She ruined it as soon as she took the DNA test. But there's others. There's going to be a lot more. Just this weekend, Julian Castro announced, here's a picture of him. He announced that he's running for president. And here's what he had to say. He wants to make sure that we invest in sensible, smart, and effective border security that includes personnel and includes the smart use of technology that does not scapegoat these immigrants, but tries to look for a way that we can get to comprehensive immigration reform to fix our broken immigration system. Tries to look for a way. What that says to me is, I plan to do nothing. Vote for me for president. I plan to do nothing. Now, Julian was the mayor of San Antonio for a number of terms. He was HUD secretary under Obama. And now he's just one of a long list of characters and candidates that want to bring universal health care, higher taxes, clean energy at the expense of workers. It's the same old thing, but he's in the mix now. Another one who just announced is Tulsi Gabbard, who is a representative from Hawaii. She actually holds the congressional seat that Mazie Hirono held before she moved on to the Senate. And her claim to fame is that she was the youngest representative elected to the Hawaii State House at the age of 21. And now she wants to make a name for herself running for president. But she is just one of many. I mean, just think about it. You've got Joe Biden. You've got Bernie Sanders. You've got Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Beto. It just goes on and on and on. But those are the most recent ones. And the list will be growing and growing. But what will not change is their platform. I mean, higher taxes, anything that will kill a job and open the border, that's what they're for. And you won't see anything different from these Democrats, regardless of how cool they're trying to be in their announcements or how, you know, coming in on a skateboard or popping a beer or whatever. It's just, it's actually quite ridiculous. So that leads us to the Supreme Court, because I mentioned Mazie Hirono, and I want to talk about the Supreme Court because there's a situation brewing, and it could come to a head maybe this year, who knows? But I want to step back in time to a nominee that had a hearing back in December, roundly criticized. His name is Brian Bisher. He's up for a district court appointment from Trump. And of course, he had to face Kamala Harris and Mazie Hirono on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And there was big criticism because he was Catholic. He's a member of Knights of Columbus. And they basically attacked him for his religious faith. Here's a report from Fox News on what they had to say. In a series of questions sent to Bisher, Hirono asked whether his membership in the Knights of Columbus would prevent him from hearing cases fairly and impartially, and if confirmed, whether he would end his membership in the Roman Catholic Charitable Organization. Harris, in her questions to the nominee, called the Knights of Columbus an all-male society and asked the Nebraska lawyer if he was aware that the group was anti-abortion, anti-gay marriage when he joined. Yes, he knew that. It's a Catholic organization. These are core fundamentals of Christian beliefs, and he's now being attacked on it. Lindsey Graham jumped in with this tweet right here. He said, "Hopefully in the eyes of Democrats, you're not disqualified to be a judge because of your religious affiliations and beliefs. The Knights of Columbus are a Catholic charitable organization who have genuinely held beliefs about marriage and abortion." Now, I bring up Hirono and this case because just a few days ago, it's really interesting, Tulsi Gabbard, one of the ones who has announced for president from Hawaii, she actually wrote an op-ed for The Hill, and I'll share part of it here, in which she's blasting Hirono and others for these attacks on religious faith. Here's what she said. While I oppose the nomination of Brian Bisher to the U.S. District Court in Nebraska, I stand strongly against those who are fomenting religious bigotry, citing as disqualifiers Bisher's Catholicism and his affiliation with the Knights of Columbus. If Bisher is unqualified because of his Catholicism and affiliation with the Knights of Columbus, then President John F. Kennedy and the liberal lion of the Senate, Ted Kennedy, would have been unqualified for the same reason. Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution clearly states that there shall be no religious test for any seeking to serve the public office. So, why do I bring this up? Why is this important to talk about the Supreme Court? One, just to remind you of the religious attacks that go on against Christians around the country every day. It's just highlighted here on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and it makes news, so I wanted to pass it along to you. But the real reason I bring it up is because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who will turn 86 in March, is now set to miss her second week of oral arguments. She's never missed any oral arguments in the history of her career until last week. She had cancer surgery in December. She's recovering from that. Now she's going on her second week of missing oral arguments. So there is speculation building on what that means. How much longer does she have, and who will be her replacement? Now, there's only three women on the court. That's Kagan, Sotomayor, and Ginsburg. And Ginsburg, left-leaning, there's no doubt about it. And we have Trump as president, who has a chance to pick that replacement. And one of the leading candidates, Amy Coney Barrett, is a strong Catholic, strong conservative, and you see how they went after Brian Bisher. So if Trump nominates her, which I hope he does, we are going to be seeing a big, big fight for that nomination. And it's coming. And I just wanted to give you guys an update on what to expect. Now it's Monday, it's Movie Monday, and today we're going to talk about Vice. Now I don't have a lot of time left in the show, but I did see this movie this weekend, and it's Adam McKay is the director, and if you saw The Big Short, it has that same kind of feel. It was given a 63% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I definitely go lower with that. The way the movie was put together, it wasn't entertaining like The Big Short, and it really draws a contrast to me with the way they're promoting the Ginsburg movie as this inspirational story, when yet one of the best public servants, since I've been involved in politics for 25 years, has been Dick Cheney. He's served as chief of staff, he's served as vice president, as secretary of defense, and all this movie did was to paint him as a monolithic, power-hungry person working his way up the chain, and that's exactly not how he is. Even in their attempt, which I thought was an attempt to paint him as a strong, loving father supporting his gay daughter when she came out, they made a big deal about that through the movie. It almost sets you up for being a chump at the end because it makes it show, the way they did it makes it seem like even that was just he'll turn on that for power, which was very frustrating, very disappointing. The one of the strongest parts, I thought, of the movie was when he was supporting his daughter. And then they turned that at the end. But it was very flat. It didn't show the policy or the beliefs of a person. Whether you agree or disagree with his policies, it only showed this as a pursuit of power. So I was very disappointed, especially since I followed his career ever since in 2000 when I sat and listened to his speech at the Republican National Convention. It was the best speech. I was very disappointed in this movie. But that's a wrap up for today, folks. I hope you enjoyed the show. Please subscribe and please tell your friends. I'm Bobby Everly. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.